A reading from the book of Genesis. The whole world spoke the same language, using the same words. While the people were migrating in the east, they came upon a valley in the land of Shinar and settled there. They said to one another, "Come, let us mold bricks and harden them with fire." They used bricks for stone and bitumen for mortar. Then they said, "Come, let us build ourselves a city and a tower with its top in the sky, and so make a name for ourselves. Otherwise, we shall be scattered all over the earth." The Lord came down to see the city and the tower that they had built. Then the Lord said, "If now, while they are one people, all speaking the same language, they have started to do this, nothing will later stop them from doing whatever they presume to do. Let us then go down and there confuse their language, so that one will not understand what another says." Thus the Lord scattered them from there all over the earth, and they stopped building the city. That is why it was called Babel, because there the Lord confused the speech of all the world. It was from that place that he scattered them all over the earth. Verbum Domini. Blessed the people the Lord has chosen to be his own. The Lord brings to naught the plans of nations. He foils the designs of peoples. But the plan of the Lord stands forever, the design of his heart through all generations. Blessed the nation whose God is the Lord, the people he has chosen for his own inheritance. From heaven the Lord looks down. He sees all mankind. From his fixed throne, he beholds all who dwell on the earth, he who fashioned the heart of each, he who knows all their works.
Dominus vobiscum.
Et cum spiritu tuo.
Lectio Sancti Evangelii secundum Marcum.
Gloria a ti, Domine.
Jesus summoned the crowd with his disciples and said to them, "Whoever wishes to come after me must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whoever wishes to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake and that of the gospel will save it. What profit is there for one to gain the whole world and forfeit his life? What could one give in exchange for his life? Whoever is ashamed of me and my words in this faithless and sinful generation, the Son of Man will be ashamed of when he comes in his Father's glory with the holy angels. He also said to them, Amen, I say to you, there are some standing here who will not taste death until they see that the kingdom of God has come in power. Verbum Domini. What does it mean to follow Jesus Christ? In his own words, Jesus tells us, whoever wishes to come after me must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. This seems an invitation to suffering and death, and so it is. But it doesn't end there, praise God. St. John Vianney once said, you must accept your cross, and if you carry it courageously, it will carry you to heaven. It's all about losing one's life for God's sake and that of the gospel, which means at once being at odds with the world and enduring whatever crosses you are given. Many of you watching this Mass today have indeed picked up your cross, and many are fastened to them like Christ, nailed to your hospital bed or wheelchair, or nailed fast to your problems that seem to have no solution. Problems with employment, financial crises. Perhaps you have received a medical diagnosis that seems so unfair, or family tensions that have no foreseeable solution. But yet, you carry your cross all the same. For all of us who dare to follow Christ are on our way to Calvary. As Mother Angelica said, the cross is not negotiable. It's a requirement. Our crosses are great opportunities. And yes, while we certainly pray for relief from suffering, we always pray as Jesus did, not our will, but yours be done. The world and all that is in it is God's project from start to finish. We cannot both follow God and lead God at the same time. However, this is what the builders of the Tower of Babel try to do. They desired to keep their lives for themselves and their own purpose. They said, come, let us make a name for ourselves. And they began the largest failed public construction project in the history of the world, which failed because they sought to reach heaven by their own hands. They misunderstood God and each other. However, God always understands everything. A psalm reminds us that it is God who fashioned our hearts. That is why God can understand even our indiscernible groanings. St. Paul describes how the Holy Spirit prays for us with groanings that cannot be expressed in words. From the book of the Proverbs, we read, mine are counsel and advice. Mine is strength. I am understanding. God displays this understanding on Pentecost Sunday, which is like the anti-Babel, where while many languages are spoken, all understand. The builders at Babel are gathered for their own project and dispersed because of their different languages. At Pentecost, those gathered for God's project were united in their many languages. For those who traveled to Jerusalem were amazed, and they said, are not all these people who are speaking Galileans? Then how does each of us hear them in his own native language? We are Parthians, Medes, Elamites, inhabitants of Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the districts of Libya near Cyrene, travelers from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs, yet each one heard the word of God in their own language. What does this mean? Well, it means that God is the way to understanding. When we are confused, hurt, and suffering, and wonder, why am I suffering the way that I am? Why is my health failing me? Why are my finances dwindling? Why is my family situation not improving? We can turn to God, for it is only in God that suffering makes any sense. When we carry our crosses, we are headed in the right direction. To Calvary first, yes, but then it gets better. Christians strive and hope for heaven, which is indeed the city of understanding and unity with God. In the gospel, we are called to lose one's life for the Lord's sake, and that of the gospel. This losing our lives is the mystery of the passion and death of Jesus, and for us. The original Greek word for to lose is apolumi, which means to destroy utterly. However, God never takes an offering from us without returning it purified. On Ash Wednesday, which is only 12 days away, Catholics will eagerly stand in line to receive ashes. We will be marked with this reminder of our own death, and the prescribed words for the words for the distribution of ashes include the option, "Remember, O man, that you are dust, and unto dust you shall return." Why are we happy to do this? Because while remembering that our bodies will return to dust, we also know that our lives do not end in the dustbin. Catholics are not called to run from suffering. In yesterday's gospel, we heard how Peter tried hard to prevent Jesus from suffering, but Jesus rebukes him, saying, "Get behind me, Satan." Jesus says, "I must suffer and die, and so must you. But don't die in vain. Die for me and the gospel, and you will indeed live." We all have one soul, and we will give it to either God or the devil. All created beings have or had one choice to make. The angels made theirs long ago. Satan and his followers chose to keep their existence for their own sake, to live neither for God or the gospel, but selfishly and foolishly gave up everything only to gain nothing. We must be all in for God. We can't be part-time Christians when there is a full-time Satan. Let us encourage one another and carry our cross well so it may carry us to heaven and be with Jesus, whom we love, and who himself, for the sake of the joy which lay before him, endured the cross. God bless you.